Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops
at. Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to
the man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
It's that time of the year again as college basketball takes center stage with the tournament finally upon us. It's March Madness, people. Let's go! If you're looking to wager this year, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your updated odds and info, along with great contests, including the bracket contest, where you have a chance to take home the top prize. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get started. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey there, Marcus Dash here, co-host of Chief Concerns. At the conclusion of this episode, please make sure to like and subscribe to our podcast right here on YouTube. And for all you listeners out there, please be sure to give us a 5-star review on any of the platforms you use to listen to us. I want to thank you all for listening to us throughout the season, and we look forward to engaging with you all throughout the offseason. Enjoy the episode. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm here with our hosts, former tight end Jason Dunn and former cornerback Eric Warfield. Fellas, how are you guys doing?
Good, good. We looking for things to be happening on the whole free agency and all of this, and it's being quiet like a church mouse. So we waiting to see, man, see what's going on. But
yeah, we don't know how to make big splashes in the free agency world. So I think we just look forward to capitalizing in the draft. And you know, it sucks for a bunch of us that are excited about what could be, and especially when you see so many big names out there, and you know, we could use them. And the worst part is when you see high caliber players going to teams that are within your division, of which you probably could have had a bid at, but you know, we don't take those chances. But we still have time, so.
And it's like, you know, it's like with everything, you know, you kind of let the big wave go, and this is obviously optimism right here. You let the big wave go, and then you see what happens after the fact that all the big guys are paid, big money's thrown out there. You kind of go for not bargains, but like, you know, you get guys who may want to do a 1-year prove it deal, and then so they can get that money the following year. So hopefully.
Yeah.
But lots to get into this week. So we're going to start off with our first concern here. So in a week that's usually filled with fireworks for our guys, it has been somewhat of a quiet week for the Chiefs as we restructured Frank Clark's contract, found Tyrann Mathieu's replacement in hard-hitting safety, Justin Reed. He's about 5 years younger than Tyrann Mathieu, 6'1", 205, so a little bit bigger than Tyrann Mathieu. And according to 40 times, he's much faster than Tyrann Mathieu based on 40 times. And getting paid significantly less than what Tyrann was asking for. So I guess, and this is the big headline splash for us so far. What did you guys make of Justin Reed over Tyrann Mathieu this week?
I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about it. I mean, he's had a stellar career. You know, hopefully he can bring a little bit more to the team of what we need. I mean, he's not a Tyrann Mathieu, and Tyrann isn't him. You know, we relied a lot on what Matthew's brought to our defense, especially our secondary. And help down in the box. So, you know, but you got to give this guy a chance. Like I said, he's had a good career so far. Hopefully he can keep it up. He's young. He's got good size, good playmaking ability. So just see what he does.
Yeah, I think, man, you know, to be honest with you, it's kind of the main thing is, you know, in this business, the NFL is a business. You know, they're always trying to find somebody that's younger, somebody that's going to get paid less. And I think they checked all the boxes out. Now, the thing is, I believe they're hoping that Justin Reed is going to be what Tyrann Mathieu is and what has shown, you know, to be, you know, up until this point. And so that's what you do. You take a chance and say, hey, look, this guy's developing. He's had a wonderful career so far. Maybe he'll come in and it'll fit that mold. Maybe he'll be able to fit that piece that we need, a younger guy that's not going to break the bank or whatever it may be. And that's just that's the business of football, man. It's the NFL. That's just how that's the theme of it. And you'll see it all during free agency through guys' careers. I mean, you see it right now. We've seen what's been happening over the past, you know, couple of days. And that's what teams do. The Chiefs are no different. And so, Reed, I think he's going to bring a lot to the table. We're going to see, but I think it's a great signing for us. No doubt about it. So,
yeah. You know, people won't give him credit, at least for what he's done and what he could possibly be. And it's mostly like, you know, I've come to understand from playing to being a coach and to even, you know, doing some news shows back in Lincoln, Nebraska, the emotional connection to sport runs deep, you know. And when you lose a player that's done so much for your team, you know, fans don't want to see those guys leave. And fans think that you can just bring out, you know, whatever that you know, whatever what's in the Brinks truck to pay to keep those guys. And, you know, we have to understand that sports is a business. You know, it's something that we love. We've grown to, you know, attach ourselves to it emotionally, but it's still a business, you know, and every business wants to run smoothly. Every business wants to be successful. And like you said, every business has a rotating door. You know, you want younger and cheaper talent that can come in and fill those needs that you're replacing. And so, I mean, I'm happy with whoever we bring in. You know, if we couldn't afford to bring Tyrann back, then so be it. You know, do I hate to lose him? Yes. We've lost a lot of great players that have been long-term Chiefs great. You know, we lost Derek Johnson to the Raiders. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he had a long tenure with us. But it happens. It's a part of the business. Do you like to see it happen that way? No. But that's just how it works.
Hey, yeah, you seeing the Derek Johnson. I mean, you look at the guys that just kind of fell in free agency. When you start looking at it, it's the same thing when you see – Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Tony Gonzalez, Tony went to the Falcons. And the thing is, you know, what's really bad about it, and I know you're saying that emotional connection, is because when guys are etched into the community, I mean, they're anchored there. They've done a lot of things, great things to the community that people, without a doubt, do feel loyalty to, right? They feel that connection. And like you said, that deep connection. And so when you see these things, you see a guy whose life is pretty much out in front of everybody in the city, and he's visible. And that's a great thing about Tyrann, man. And like you said, that part of the business, I mean, he thinks, and I'm sure, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but, you know, as former players, we know this. We know, like, look, man, I've done what I needed to do in the community. I hope to stay here for the long deal, for the long haul. And then all of a sudden it just seems like – I'm just thrown away, and you would expect. And it's just like anything else, right? It's in every, like, corporations, any type of job. What we don't see anymore is that loyalty, right? And I'm not saying the Chiefs don't have it, but, you know, the same thing, it's a bad part of it because it's business, right? It's like, well, you know, we can't afford you. We'll bring somebody else in like we brought you in. And so, hey, listen, we love everything you've done for us. We appreciate everything you've done. And sometimes it, as a player, it just seems like a slap in the face. But, you know, that's the bad part of it. You just understand that, you know, sometimes these things, like I said before, sometimes when you make the big bucks, man, you become expendable. That's the bad part of it. So, you know.
Hey, it's been a surprise so far that Mathieu is still one of the last free agents, still one of the big name guys. He's still available right now. Because the landing spots that they people thought he was going to go to was New Orleans. That didn't happen. They ended up re-signing their guy. And then Baltimore, who ended up getting somebody else. So it's like
people, there's some Chief fans who are holding out hope that he could maybe sign for a 1-year deal with Kansas City, but we're having trouble with our own money bringing in other guys to fulfill other needs. So I don't know if that's going to happen. But more so on Justin Reed, how do you see him fitting into the defense?
I don't know, to be honest. That's just an honest answer. I haven't seen enough highlights on him. I didn't watch games of Houston. You know, just seeing some of the stats that were posted on Twitter about his career. I mean, it's nothing to say that, you know, he's gonna be any better than what Tyron is. But you hope, you know, you get, even when you draft guys, you hope, you know, that they can live up to what you signed them for. So we signed him to replace Tyron. So I'm in the hopes that he can come in and outperform what Tyron has done. You know, and that's a, you know, he's got some pretty good size shoes to fill with filling that position.
What I've seen of it, you're right, I haven't seen a whole lot of Houston, but, you know, highlights and some of the other things that I have seen, the other games I have seen, I mean, he's a solid safety, man. He's a good tackler. I mean, he's strong. He's got some speed on him. I mean, he's a solid player. I mean, he is a solid player, and that's he'll bring that here. You know, he's not going to get beat a whole lot. Playing down here, kind of in the box, he'll be able to do. They'll ask him to do a whole lot more of that. But man, he's a good player. He's a good player, and that's the reason why the Chiefs went after him and signed him. You know, so, you know, they was pretty high on him, man. I did, to be honest with you, I didn't even know he was kind of on the radar until he came out. I was like, oh, okay, start looking. I'm like, this dude, you know, he's pretty good. He's a good player, man. So he'll bring something to the secondary, no doubt about it. And of course, one thing they're looking for is youth, right? Youth, durability. So.
Hey, he's a big dude. I mean, it's kind of like a different kind of safety than Matthews. He's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what we can do. And a lot of Chief fans are just hoping that, with as far as the safety goes, is that maybe we'll see a little bit of him kind of playing more of what Sorensen did, and then maybe getting a younger safety to kind of do what Matthew was doing, just because I guess he kind of stacks up more so, like, stature-wise, with more of Sorensen than he does with Matthew. But
Matthew, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving on. So we've talked about this in the show for a long time, that we're going to have a lot the needs that we had going into this offseason was edge, right tackle, and finding a number two receiver, along with, you know, either replacing Matthew's position or re-signing Matthew. But we've been kind of quiet, and the only kind of names, the only time our names have popped up over the last few days, as far as guys we were interested in, was just a receiver position. And so the three names were Allen Robinson, who we talked about on the show before, Jarvis Landry, who was newly cut after our show last week, and then Cordarrelle Patterson, which is kind of an interesting one that apparently we are interested in. Those three names, of those three guys that we're reportedly linked to, which one of those guys do you think would fit best with what we need at that number two position?
Well, I've said this, and I think, to be honest with you, from what I've seen, I think Landry fits best with what we do. And the reason is just because of, like I said before, he's a solid veteran guy. He catches the ball really well, catches with his hands. Yeah, yes, he is. Yes, he is. You know, last year was his down year and he caught 52 balls and he was hurt. So when you look at what the Chiefs do offensively, I've always said this is kind of like a small man's kind of offense, right? You know, find the window, find the hole type of offense. And that's one thing he'll be able to do. Now, he doesn't have the speed he used to have, but, you know, the guy can still get open. He's going to be one of those, you know, really creative, wily vets, you know, to be able to, you know, find a hole, push off on guys and be available for Patrick. And so his skill set, what he brings, not to mention his command of, like, the locker room, his maturity, right? We talk about his toughness, being on the field, his durability, at least trying to be out there and just playing hard through the pain and all the things he's gone through. So I think a lot of that, man, he's going to be able to come in, if he comes in, if we get him, right? he'll help develop, I think, a young guy that I think the Chiefs might try to get in the draft, you know, at least somebody that for the long haul, right, for the future, he'll be able to come in and be able to help that guy develop. He'll be, you know, another one of those things, could just talk to these guys. But he'll be a great compliment, man, to Hill and Kelce. I mean, that's the way we're looking at it. And Hardman, too. So if you're sitting over looking in the room and you got Hill, you got Hardman, Landry, and then, of course, with Kelce, what he does, I mean, I think that's pretty much what you need. You need a solid guy. And what we were kind of really, you know, hurting on was that third down, like a guy that you could trust. And Patrick needs a guy that he could trust. And so when you got a guy out here that you know can trust, who's going to get open, who's going to find the hole for you, I think that's what your offense needs. Not to mention, like, you know, Eve said, the gimmicky stuff that Landry can do, right? So
either one, it doesn't matter which one. But we're not, again, here in the last, I don't know, however many years, we haven't made a splash with a big name player. So, you know, we haven't even made a splash. I think we made one significantly bringing Ingram in, but that was midway through the season. So as far as like in the beginning, to have that timing right from the beginning, so when you start now, we don't make those kind of splashes. And I don't see us bringing either one of those guys in. I hope, and heck, I'll take either one of them. You know, they're all playmakers. So, I mean, I don't want to sit there and give a resume over each one of them, but heck, either one of the guys would be good for the offense. You know, you can do any and everything with Cordarrelle Patterson. And, you know, the other two guys are pretty good players and legit. So I take either one. Will we do it? I doubt it.
Yeah. And look, I even say this, though. So, like with Patterson, you know, he's a guy, man. He seemed like he fits a particular style in the offense, how they use him. You know, he's not really – I wouldn't say he's great at anything, but he's good at everything, right? So he's not particularly great. He's good at pretty much everything, right?
He can run the ball. He's missing utility. You can put him at return.
Yes, he is.
You can put him at receiver. You can put him at running back. He can do it all.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, either way, I think if he was with the Chiefs, he'd definitely find a way of fitting into the offense. Again, will we make that? Will we make those kind of, that kind of a move? I doubt it.
Yeah, I just think we need that solid guy, kind of like I said on the offense, man, catching the football. And here's why. I'll give you another reason I say that. Like
all,
when we
I
bought,
know we Sam, need it.
Yeah. No,
we all know we need it, but will we do it?
Right. Well, okay. Well, so what I'm saying, well, you're right. I don't know if we'll do it or not. I'm saying, like, you know, who fits the best in here? And the reason I'm saying Landry, because we think about, like, when we brought, like, Sammy in, right? Sammy Watkins. You had to think about the guys that weren't quite developed around him. Now we got Hill, who's your number one, who's going to take the top off the defense. McCole can do the same thing, right? So now what you do, you just need those hands. You need that guy, like, you know, who's going to get open on third down, who's reliable, that you know you can trust. You need a guy that you can trust, you know what I'm saying, offensively. And so what teams end up doing last year, you drop eight, right? Shoot, double Tyreek, double Kelce, Harmon started coming in toward the end, and everybody else just kind of, you know, didn't really get open for Patrick. And so he was regulated to, like, trying to throw the ball to two guys, right? That's what you did. And so I think Jarvis gives us that. But you're right, man. Are we going to do it? And I think also, too, Landry comes in probably at a good price. That's another thing. You know, it's feasible for us to bring a guy like that in. So I know we're talking about Robinson. Robinson's going to ask for that top money. And I don't know if we need a number.
You could probably get Julio Jones at a cheap rate for what he did last year. He's not going to be worth the money he got last year.
I know it. Yeah.
And he's a reliable receiver. It's just he's older in age. He's more fragile. So, but do you need him every play? No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, talk about making splashes. I mean, you kind of mentioned Sammy Watkins. When we got him a few years back, that was like a big offseason splash for us. Yeah, I mean, was he what we thought he was going to be? No, he wasn't. But, like, that was a big
splash. But Tyreek hadn't broken out then, though. So it's like more so, you know, we thought Sammy was going to be our number one, I think.
Yeah.
But a thing that everyone's saying right now is the reason why we haven't seen, or at least today, the receivers, the same guys who came into the day as free agents are still free agents. Everyone's waiting to see what Deshaun Watson does. If he goes to Atlanta, you might see Allen Robinson go to Atlanta, or Jarvis Landry, who's actually visiting with Atlanta right now. So if they do get him, Watson, then we may see some stuff start to go in motion tomorrow. That's what the reports are saying. But as far as Allen Robinson, I don't know. Obviously, we talk about the business. Guys want to get paid. Allen Robinson with Jacksonville didn't have a really good quarterback situation. He gets paid, goes to Chicago. He ends up getting Trubisky. And then this past year, a kind of a mix of guys, Foles, Dalton, Justin Fields as a rookie. Could we see a one-year deal where he, you know, takes $4 million? Because we're still, as far as last I saw, we're still interested in him. And we're obviously, I don't know, could you see a guy like that coming to Kansas City on a one-year deal to play with Mahomes?
Man, we sat here last year and made up so many scenarios of which guys could come here just to take a less amount of money and just to pursue a Super Bowl, because we have the pieces. You know, we were sitting there thinking like, oh, why wouldn't J.J. Watt take less to come here? Why wouldn't, you know, Von Miller and this here player and that player? It's within that front office to decide what we can do within our budget. Now, me, I know I mentioned it on Twitter. Hell, just pay. Just go over the cap. If you end up winning Super Bowl, pay the penalty of whatever they're going to charge you. Hell, you got another ring. You know, I don't know if that's the way it works, but you do get penalized. Fine, right? Run over the cap.
Yep.
Yeah.
Budget. I mean, if you want to go make a splash, go make the splash. Just go over the budget. Clark can pull that American Express now.
Yeah, if it's personal money, they got plenty at, but not, you know, hey, you gotta. But I think if you bring him in for a year, you could definitely do it. I mean, I'd love to have him. I mean, who wouldn't love to have that guy? Seriously. I mean, if you get Robinson here, it'd be a great thing. I said, you know, you bring him in, let him cuss out Nagy for, you know, good and proper one good time. It's like, look, you did me like that, then we just put it all down, right? Leave it alone. But, you know, you said this, right? And I don't know, because Deshaun Watson, right? He goes to Atlanta. Is Atlanta a Super Bowl team? No. Like, Landry wants to go win one. I don't think Atlanta is a place that you want to go. I don't care who you get. Unless the guy, I mean, seriously, if you got like a real legitimate chance of making this to the Super Bowl, I wouldn't go. Why wouldn't
you? We said all this last year, JD. We said all this last year. And what do we get?
I hear you. So are we just tight with the purse strings? Is that what it is? Are we just tight with the purse strings,
B? So that's what I want to. I want to know that too. Like, I want to know what the front office is thinking. Like, you know, why don't we make that splash? Like, why can't we drop that rock in the water and see what comes, or that check in the water and see what ripples we get?
I tell you what, I'm going to give you a quick story. All right. When I was a free agent one time. Okay. And a team offered me something. Right. And, you know, the teams, you know, you just had to go with the offer. So their guy sent their offer out. Of course, I'm just like, huh. All right. I said, I'll tell you what. I told my agent, I said, you take that offer, you ball it up, wipe my tail, and send it back to him. How about that? Okay. Because that's just some BS right there. I said, if we're going to do that, then you just put an offer out there just so high. Right. You going to lowball me? We're just going to be like, well, JD needs 3 years, $50 million. For blocking? Yeah. Since you try to hit with the lowball, we ain't doing it. We ain't playing this game. Come on now. You know? Like, let's be respectful. And so I hope, you know, Veach ain't doing that. You know, and I get everybody's like, oh, Veach this, Veach that. Man, look, Veach is making choices, but you best believe Andy and all these guys are involved with these choices. It ain't just Veach saying, I'm going to pull on this guy. If Andy say, no, it ain't okay, I'm telling you, it's not going to be all right. So he's involved in this process. All of them are. And they like, look, this works or it doesn't work. So
I mean, we know that, but why? But I'm just saying, we know the front office makes that, you know, those decisions. That little war room has got a whole bunch of names up on that chalkboard.
I know
it. And for some reason,
I think that chalkboard is still full by the time it's draft time.
Oh, yeah. Y'all, you already know. Yeah.
Like, we ain't making no moves from that draft board, and I don't know why. We make moves from the draft board, not the free agency board. And I don't get it. Like, it's, hell, even if you do bring a Julio can't be worth half of what he was worth last year. You're double-digit in years. Yeah. Your value should be cut completely in half because your stats are not even half of what you've done. You didn't play a lot of games last year, you know, but you can still make plays. You're still a threat, I think, if you're healthy. If we don't utilize you a lot, you can go out there and make plays.
But what was he known for? What was Julio? What's his calling card?
Julio did it all. You can throw Julio, Julio can take that for 80 yards. You can throw it deep, Julio can catch it up for two or three plays.
Right. Hey, look, that's a long joker. That joker is long. You know what I'm saying? He get them strides. But now he got them little bitty tiptoes down. He ain't quite got that lift
that's
anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Running ball. You don't need him to break those yards. You need a possession guy. Julio's not going to drop a lot of balls.
No. He had great hands, that's for sure. You know, but E. Julio, so part of it's going to be his ego, right? You think Julio going to come in here for, you know, $8 million? Would you give him
Tennessee for what, 10?
Yeah.
I guarantee he's not worth it. He's not worth 10 right now.
No, definitely not.
That would be a guy who, where at his age, he would want to come play for a ring, you would think.
You went to Tennessee in hopes of, you know, pairing with, I forget the guy who was number 11.
AJ.
Yeah, AJ. Yeah, and Henry, in hopes of, and then they started out great. You know, you just had too many injuries because you're up there in age. It happens. So I just think that to become a possession receiver with Kansas City takes a lot of that off of you. You're not the number two. We go Kelce, Tariq Kelce. So you're going to be a third, maybe a fourth. But you're a reliable third and fourth. You're not an every down third and fourth. We got our number one and number two receiver. That's Kelce and Tariq.
Absolutely. 100%.
And so I still think, and for somebody like a Landry or Robinson, they're gonna want the big contract. We're already giving that to Tariq Hill and Kelce.
Right. But so that's why I said Landry in itself, I think he works better in the offense. Julio, you know, he's that big guy. He could definitely be a possession receiver. I think some things we do, man, like Landry be the guy, right?
Oh, I'm not saying Julio's the guy we should go get. I'm just saying I think he fits. He's one that's, I think his value is decreased enough to where he can fit financially and physically, potentially wise, with what we have. But all those other guys fit also.
You like Patterson?
Patterson. I think we already have Patterson with Hardman. I feel like the way we use Hardman was the way we kind of use Patterson.
Basically, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not turning down anything, JD.
I hear you.
If we can bring any and everybody in for a workout to see how you fit, so be it. Bring them all.
Yeah.
Shoot, man. I might put my cleats on. Come on out there, man. Run a couple of routes, then a couple of slants.
Now, you better go sit in that steam room for about a couple of months before you get your ass out there.
I will say, JD, I'm kind of curious about your hesitation with Julio. You're such a big Josh Gordon fan with this offense, but yet you're not a Julio fan. I don't really get that.
Josh ain't costing us no money. It's business, right? You know, Julio talking about he knock on the door for $10 million, $8 million. Hey man, you might have to go. Money. No, yeah. Hey man, you got to go on down the street. You stopped at the wrong facility.
He better hang his cleats up if he's talking about trying to get $10, $11 million again.
Right.
We'll see. And like everyone's saying, once Watson makes his move, we're going to see the wheels turn on a lot of these receivers making their moves tomorrow. So hopefully that does happen. Hopefully we do get one of these guys. All right. So the last topic of the night,
kind of talk of the last week has been what the our division's been doing. We talked about Russell Wilson last week, but now it's kind of getting the edge rushers. So AFC West has added pass rushers from with the Raiders going with Crosby and Chandler Jones, Chargers getting Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, and Broncos now have Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory. So I guess the question is, since we've kind of missed out on the big name pass rushers, should we be prioritizing the right side of our offensive line or trying to make do with trying to get the next best crop of pass rushers right now? Two of the names everyone's talking about is Trent Brown at right tackle or trading for Leo Collins from the Cowboys. But what do you guys think about that?
Collins is legit, big time legit. He helps us tremendously. I like the re-signing of Wiley because I think Wiley does really good against the Raiders, but that's about it. I don't know if it's his long-time relationship with Crosby, but he does a good job against him. So he's good for that game. Other than that, a solid guy is great there. And as I said, dude, whatever's available out there that we can go get, just go get him. I'm happy with whoever you bring, big name, to solidify what we need. And we do need an offensive lineman. We do need another edge rusher. We do need a middle linebacker. Corner-wise, I don't know who we're going to put on the other side over here. Heck, on either side, basically. I do like Snead, but he has his moments, as all corners do. There's a lot. There's a whole lot out there that we need. You know, we build to win it all, I think, you know. And you need, trying to build it all, you need a big-time name that's, you know, that's done work and that's going to continue doing work. And everybody's saying that Von Miller's got overpaid. And Von Miller showed out in the Super Bowl. Like, he had two tremendous sacks in that Super Bowl. May had pressure a lot during the game. Call him old and call him what you want. He shows up when needed. But he's gone now. And he's in our division. Well, he's in the AFC still.
Yeah.
With a good team.
You know what, man? It's why I'm really disappointed. I'm disappointed because now you have to – it's a reaction of getting another lineman. And while he did a great job, I think he was solid. You still got Niang. But – the best way you could have avoided this, you could have signed those guys instead of letting them go in free market. You know what I'm saying? On the free agency. I mean, how can we not? If you got somebody who's dominant, you definitely want the guy that you're going against to have that guy, right? You don't want him having that hired gun. You want that guy. And so that's why I'm disappointed, man. Just seeing these things just coming through the day, through the wire. I'm just like, man, this don't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So that to me, now we got to talk about getting a tackle. I get, you know, having the depth, you know, something happens and, you know, getting a guy. Is it protect Patrick? Sure. I get it. But man, we should have been going at these guys, man, full blast, hardcore, seriously. And I'm that's the one thing, man, that's really upsetting to me is that we didn't get the guys. So now all of a sudden, now we got to go talk about all we got. Man, daggone it. We missed it. We dropped the ball on that. Shoot, on a couple of them. So we get another tackle. Oh, well, we'll deal with it. But the guy we're talking about, he's a little bit older, and he's like in his who was you talking? You was talking about
Al Collins?
Huh?
Collins, the right tackle?
Collins, yeah, yeah. So, you know, I guess that's going to be have to, you know, respond to what they're going to have defensively, you know. But Wiley, like you said, he get him 1 year. He's a solid guy. He played well. I think he kind of fit for us. Was it 2 years?
Wiley got two? Or one for two and a half?
It was a one-year deal.
Yeah, 1 year deal. Yeah. Yeah. So I just, you know, well. But somehow we got to figure out, man, with this whole edge deal. That's what I want to talk about. Getting these guys on defense because we got to find them. And, you know, I know draft, you know, talking about the draft, getting the guy on the draft, you know, but I like those veteran guys. I like guys that's been there that knows what they're going up against. Proven guys, right? Shoot, I know everybody looking at who's my man down there in Dallas? Can't think of his name. What's his
Parsons? Parsons.
Yeah, Parsons. Everybody thought we're gonna get a Parsons that now. Shoot, what I'm looking at in the draft, I don't see no guy like that. You know,
well, the guy out of Michigan's a real deal, and the guy out of Oregon is supposed to be. I haven't really paid attention to the Oregon guy. I think he missed quite a few of the games because he was supposed to be a first round pick. Yeah, he's supposed to be legit too.
Yeah, man. But like you said, the veteran guys, you know what they can do. This guy come in and he still got to learn, you know, the hand slap. Shoot, the veteran, like, look, man, that don't work up here. You know, when he's going against a guy who was, majoring in basket weaving, you ain't got to worry about that guy anymore. You know, biometrics. Yeah, it's up here. I want to eat. I got a family I got to feed. And the thing is, you beat me, then I ain't got no food on my table. So I'm going to hit you in your throat when you come around here. And these guys got to learn it. But, yeah, Parsons is a whole different animal, man, different beast. So I don't know, man.
A lot of the draft experts say that this is one of the deepest edge rusher classes in a long time. I mean,
it's deep. It's deep. Depth doesn't necessarily mean
top end talent.
Yes. Right. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that's going to be able to good and, you know, come in and probably, you know, start and stuff. Do I see any, like, I've looked at some of the guys that's out there. Nobody jumps off the screen to me like, yo, that this we got to get this guy. And if
you haven't seen that from Michigan play?
I have. I seen him. He's good. That's Michigan. The dude
was like one of the most boys.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know, Michigan ain't, you know,
it don't matter, Jay. He put up numbers every game. I think he was close to where he got the record for sacks on DN. He's a monster out there, man.
All right. Well, we gonna hang around and get him. Is that what's gonna happen?
Oh no, he's gonna be. He's early off the board.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm talking about. So we ain't even got a chance to get that guy, right? Maybe, or we decide to, you know, do some picks and, you know,
I think Alabama's got to get that guy. I think Georgia's, their defense has got a lot of good players. There's some players out there because I think there's a lot of defensive guys available for this draft. And the bad thing, like you said earlier, you're going in with the unknown because you got, you know, you can show out and all you want to in college. We've seen Heisman Trophy guys not even, you know, show up in the pros. So just because you did it in college don't mean you're going to do it in the pros.
Right. To one dude who's free agency right now, Javion Clowney. Clowney came out. He was just supposed to be like deal breaker from
best defense to be in. I mentioned him. I would take Clowney. I don't think he's worth the money right now. But you get
– right.
I take it.
I would too. Look, take a chance. God, you know, win you a Super Bowl, come on here, win you a chip, you know, work hard. He'll definitely be able to come in and help. There's some guys, man, in the free agency, man, that, like you said, it's not going to cost a whole lot of money. It's not. We should be getting these guys in. But, yet, and you still got the draft. That's the thing about it. You still got the draft with these guys. So, man, I don't know.
Man, I
hate having to depend on the draft. You know, we got some good, you know, talent with what we got last year, early picks. Are those early picks good enough to get us a Super Bowl? No, because we didn't prove it throughout the year. But they lived up to the moment. They did well. I think they did well enough to, you know, earn the starting job, earn whatever accolades they got throughout the year. But with the proven older guys, if you can make a splash and get a guy older, you know, to help solidify those younger guys, it helps. You know, Wagner's still out there to help out with, you know, our young linebacker core.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of big names that are still out there. Again, I just don't know what we have in the bank account to pursue those guys. So,
I mean, and I think a lot of those guys won't break the bank. Like you say, Clowney, I don't think it's breaking the bank.
JP, he can't come with a big ticket.
Yeah. Pierre Paul could be another good one too. I mean, if we're bringing in two of the, like, let's say Ingram, Clowney, or one of these other guys like JPP, that's not bad. I'm not going to be upset if we do that. You know,
it's not bad, but you try to get somebody young guy. You can't be like the Lakers. It debacle what they did. Brought in all old guys and them suckers wouldn't play no defense. You know, I just don't want to see. A young guy that still got some spark to him. You know, some muff. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, Chandler Jones, Darius Smith, those guys should have been, without a doubt, don't let them guys do, hey, you come over here, we're going to make sure what we need to do. We're going to win a championship. We need you. You the piece that we need to get this done. And I don't know what transpired, but hey, they other places, so.
Yeah, and then there's also like theories that people say that like we want to make our biggest splash on a receiver. Mahomes is gonna convert his money to the bonus on Friday because they couldn't. That Friday's the day of the deadline where they can do the bonus stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of people think the theory is we're gonna bolster another, get another weapon for Mahomes if he is gonna do that converting the money into a bonus on Friday. So, I mean, I don't know. It's all theories until we see what happens. So by this time next week, we have our next show. I think we'll have some answers. Hopefully, I think.
Hopefully,
that's what I'm gonna guess. But all right, fellas. Well, that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by Bet Online. We'll see you guys next week. Where hopefully there's some answers to a lot of these questions that we had. So we'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
All right, fellas.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.